And welcome everybody over here on YouTube for Off the Hook Overtime. Emmanuel here, Kyle over there.
Hi there.
And over in Signal Land, no longer Skype Land, Rob, Gila, and Alex, you all make it okay?
Hello, hello, hello.
I'm here.
Yep, I'm here.
And are we in fact on YouTube this week?
We are. We're sounding good.
Now, those of you who tuned in a couple of weeks ago, or actually last week, might remember our friend The Hum, which we've pretty much gotten rid of. It seems to be something telco-related, and that can take a while sometimes, but we've done some... Oh, Kyle's done some wiring.
Yeah, I was telling Rob earlier before the show, I just ran a cable to a different outlet. I will find a different pair at the outlet we had been using, but this actually worked. I just made a nice long cable and ran it to a different part of the building.
So a little bit of a hum, but
it's a gentle hum.
Yeah, gentle hum, not like last week.
But it's got our glorious dial tone.
Oh, let's try. Yeah, so you can't really
tell.
Don't
turn up that loud.
No, I won't turn up that loud.
Yeah, just like that. I mean, it's enough to hear Rebel, so we're good.
Well, some people might say that's not a plus, but okay, fine. It being 8:02 now, people can use that after-hours language if they wish to make any points that they couldn't make on the radio. And any other stories or things they'd like to share, please feel free.
I would like to note that some folks in the chat were reporting trouble with the WBAI stream of the episode, just some dropouts and things like that.
You know,
so
we noticed the same thing on our Alexa device.
We were monitoring.
I can't say her name too loud.
A smart home assistant.
Yeah, you know, I was actually during the break. I was shouting, saying, "Why is this so screwed up?" And the Alexa device was like playing, "Why is this so screwed up?" It's like they found a song with that title.
Yeah, I was like, "I will play this song."
I didn't want that.
Could not find the song.
You guys who have these things, and I know there are people out there who do. Do you ever find that they wake up at weird times, like when you don't say their name, and they just inject themselves into the conversation, or worse, you have the TV on and it decides to answer somebody on the TV? It's getting more and more intrusive. I'm just kind of curious how far it's going to go and who's going to go crazy first. It's me.
Yeah,
it's me.
It's all of us. I've noticed there are ads on TV. Like if you watch Saturday Night Live, you'll see a commercial break or a commercial bumper that says, "For more music by whoever's the musical guest that week," it'll say, "Ask Siri to say, hey, Siri, play music by such and such." And it's interesting that I'm wondering, because I don't use Siri, but I'm wondering if people who do find that this sets off their devices and asks it to play that thing for them.
Well, from what we've been hearing, there are some issues with the streaming on WBAI. So you can hear our show. It's going to be uploaded I think it's uploaded already at 2600.com/offthehook. So that's where you can get the uninterrupted recording of the program as soon as Jince gets around to processing it. It's usually up within the first 20 minutes or so of this show. And then this show is up later. So, you know, everything gets saved at some point. Okay, we are going to take some phone calls. 802-321-4225. And I understand somebody actually already called before I even gave out the phone number.
Yes.
So, good evening. You are on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little far away. If you can talk a little louder, that might be nice.
Is this better?
Not really.
Well, I could call back on a different phone. My name is Howard. Want to talk about the Real ID.
Okay.
And if they also have something called the Enhanced ID, and that can also be used.
Right. Now, we talked about that, but did you say you could call back on a different line?
Yeah, if you want me to. It's just too bad.
Yeah, let's try a different line, see what happens.
I'll call back in about 1 minute.
All right. Well, hopefully that's enough time for you to beat Rebel. What do you think, Kyle? It's kind of a
that's back to what it was. I thought it was going to be better. I'm sorry I boasted that we might have had a solution, but
well, there was a hum. We knew there was a hum. I think that phone line was very low.
Keep it below unity. Definitely don't want to like
the dial tone sounded good.
Turn it past
the dial tone
on the board.
No,
yeah, the dial tone was fine. Yeah,
if you have a good connection, you should be able to mask the hum, is my point. And until they fix whatever's going on with our phone lines.
Don't make excuses for our phone lines.
Well, this just happened out of nowhere.
Just go ahead, just blame all the callers.
It rains a little bit, and all of a sudden, everything goes wacky.
We will spend some time, but it takes some time to troubleshoot, and we did the best we could in a pinch. Mm-hmm. Hopefully our next caller...
Oh, we have another call?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. I thought we did.
I forgot to hang up.
Oh, you didn't hang up. Oh, okay. Now we have a call.
I fear this won't be better. Try to keep it a little bit lower, because I can't believe that's...
Well, I couldn't hear the guy. I had to turn it up.
All right.
We have a phone call?
Yeah.
And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes, Emmanuel.
See, I can hear Rebel. I hear the hum, too. But it's good to have a choice, you know? I can listen to one over the other.
I'm sorry. It doesn't seem like it's as much of an improvement as I thought.
Rebel, I won't ask you this very often, but could you please speak louder?
Okay. Can you hear me clearly? I'm on my cell phone.
Okay, talking slowly isn't what I asked you, and that doesn't solve anything, but talking more loudly will mask the hum and make you audible and perhaps listenable.
Okay, well... I'll talk loud. Now, I just want to mention that the enhanced ID is like the real ID. You can, if you have an enhanced ID, which I got before, like a few years ago, actually, you can do the same things like board airplanes domestically and things like go to federal buildings and things like that. It's like the real ID. So if you have an enhanced ID, you're good. You know, you don't have to get a real ID. It's like the real ID. I don't know what the difference between the two are.
Okay, well, we explained this on the air, but enhanced ID basically allows you to cross borders into Canada and Mexico by land, kind of like a passport card. In fact, exactly like a passport card. It costs, I think, an extra $30, and it's also a real ID. So that's the only one that costs extra. Real ID costs the same as a regular driver's license, but a regular driver's license won't allow you to get on airplanes and in the United States, and won't allow you to cross any borders. And a passport card or a passport will allow you to cross land borders, Mexico and Canada, and maybe some Caribbean countries too. But not by plane, just by land.
A passport will go by land and by plane.
Yes, a passport, an actual passport, will allow you to go anywhere, pretty much.
Okay. I've been listening to these things on YouTube called the Computer Chronicles. It was a show on, I don't know what channel, but it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
They were talking about Unix,
mm-hmm.
Computer Chronicles, and they said something about ports. I don't understand what it means, but they were talking about Unix, and I'm going to play you an expert from them. So I don't know if you'll be able to hear it. I'm going to
turn an expert or an excerpt? Or an expert in an excerpt? Okay. Excerpt. Whatever. Well, this will be a challenge to hear it, but let's try it.
Okay, it's going to talk about ports. I just want to know what it means. Okay, hold on and I'll... Okay, let's see if we can hear this.
The typical Unix network runs on many computers. User-initiated tasks are distributed among computers through port selectors.
Okay, did you hear that?
Not really. It was pretty far away. You want to just tell us what they said?
All right. They said the following. The typical Unix network runs on many computers.
Right. And back then, that was probably true. That was probably true. Like, a DEC 10 or something, a PDP 10.
Right, PDP 11 and all things like that.
Yeah,
and
it could run on those.
User-initiated tasks are distributed amongst computers through port selectors. What does that mean?
Okay, well, I'm not going to dissect every sentence of this. It's old technology. I mean, the hardware, you know, the mini computers were running Unix systems using all kinds of ports I'm not sure what it is you're looking for. It runs pretty much the way computers run today.
But are they talking about physical ports, or like ports like when you go on Telnet and you're going to a specific port, or when you go was when you make a mistake going to a web page and it says you don't have access to port 30 or whatever.
Yeah, there are. I mean, there's your HTTP port. There's your mail port. Everything is, you know, run through a series of ports, port scanning, all that. You know, there's thousands of them, and you know, it's no different than it is today, except the hardware was different. But it's very, very similar to the way a system today would work. You know, a Linux system or a BSD system.
Are we talking about TCP/IP?
Rebel wants to know what ports on an old Unix system from the 1980s are all about. And it's kind of hard for me to just wrap that up.
An OS.
Yeah. Feel free, anybody else wants to jump in on this.
I do recommend, if you're watching this on Computer Chronicles, Computer Chronicles was a very good show. I remember it very fondly. It was produced by PBS from the 80s. It actually ran until 2002. And they were very good at explaining the terms, because it was an educational show, and the function of it was to explain these things they were talking about to the viewers. So I would say, if you're listening to an excerpt and you're interested in learning more about what they're talking about, watch the rest of the episode.
Well, you know, yeah, that makes sense. Rebel, you know, you did watch the episode, but yet you're calling us to ask us what the episode means. So we're bouncing you back to your source material for an explanation of your source material, because Computer Chronicles was that good.
Right. Okay. This is what Hope Conference is for.
Exactly. Yeah. Go to the Hope Conference and just ask all kinds of people. I'm sure they'll line up to give you answers.
And, you know, networks, like, where I was, like, Digital Computer Equipment Corporation Communities back in the 80s, there'd be 10 computers and 10 terminals in one area, like one building, and another 10 in another building, but they were all connected to this mainframe. I remember they had different numbers. I guess these were the ports or the Ethernet. I don't know how an Ethernet system works.
I'm sorry. While you're talking, we're trying to troubleshoot the problem. So anybody else can talk to Rebel while we're trying to figure out how to get rid of the hum.
I would imagine that.
Don't hear the hum, by the way, like last week.
Yeah, I think we proved that people on the phone. Wait a minute. If people on the phone can't, does that mean people on the radio listening can't hear us? Can't hear the hum? Because if we're the only ones that hear the hum, well, we can deal with that.
I do hear the hum on the. Off the hook. I mean, when I'm listening online.
So the hum is there.
I can't hear it now.
You don't hear it on the phone, or whatever it is. You're okay.
Right.
Yeah. Folks on YouTube have mentioned that they can hear the hum, but they can hear Rebel fine over it.
Okay, so let's just go with that and not worry about it anymore.
Yeah. Keep the board below.
Well, the reason I brought it up louder was because people aren't talking loud enough. So Rebel, one more time, talk louder.
Right.
So
but if you boost it from these EQ points, but keep the slider below Unity.
I thought I wasn't allowed to touch those ones.
You can.
I'm allowed to touch those knobs.
Yeah. Cause all right. If it's below Unity, you can add. Part of the EQ, but it won't be.
Okay, everyone got angry last time I did that. Okay, so
we'll be adding to something.
What about this one here? Because it seems to be
that's bass.
That's a little bit off. Do we need more bass?
Turn it up.
That's more bass. Yeah, that's more bass. Too much bass.
See, it's not
and too little bass.
It's not distorted because it's still below level on the board.
Okay, how about if I stand over here and then I walk over to this part?
No, that doesn't work. People's ears.
There's a lot of controls here. We can do all sorts of things.
This is fun.
Could we go quadraphonic? We can do that. You know.
Sure.
Yeah, people have to get another set of speakers,
though. What kind of
setup
you have?
You'd love to know that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
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 You and everybody else, but highly guarded secrets.
It's proprietary.
Yeah, it's a Hum 2000.
Proprietary. Proprietary.
How do you know 950 number?
What about why you just throw out these questions? 950 numbers? What now?
Oh, we're supposed to use a different phone number.
What?
Yeah, 950 number. Remember your 950 number?
They don't still work. Do any 950 codes still work?
I don't think so. I don't know.
If you can find one.
I'm thinking of I'm thinking of getting a wired light phone, just like a Verizon wired light phone, a basic phone, nothing, no internet, no fire, just to have one, maybe for a month or two, just to play with it and see what works and what doesn't, and, you know?
Yeah, I support that.
calling the operators and things like that, and, you know, because the operators don't really do anything, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'd be happy to hear you say that. Rebel, please wrap it up, because we have another call from that other person that was trying to call us at the beginning of the show.
Okay. I'm having an efficient computing experience.
You're having an efficient computing experience?
Yeah, I'm sure people at Hope will.
That sounds good. Alex, are you trying to say something? Just jump in.
Yeah, I'm being patient and diplomatic here, I guess, when I don't really need to be. But the question about the 950 numbers actually got me thinking. But I wonder if anybody knows this, maybe somebody in the chat as well. But I wonder if the 950 numbers went obsolete when dialing required you to insert the area code. So remember, 950 was like...
Well, it's got nothing to do with area codes. It has to do with carriers. Yeah, it's
right, but it was always a seven-digit number to dial, right? 950. I just don't think it, like, you could dial a 950 in a separate area.
I think you're mixing up 950 numbers with carrier access codes. Because carrier access codes, that's how you selected, with OnePlus dialing, an alternative long-distance call. It started off as, was it 10288 was AT&T? And then it expanded. I don't know why, because there never were this many long-distance companies. It was 10102888 for AT&T before you dialed your phone number, which included one and an area code. But 950s, you would dial 950 and four digits, and you'd get a tone. Like, for instance, 950-1022 was MCI, 950-1033 was Sprint, and then you get a tone, and you would enter your code and your phone number. But that was for areas that did not have the ability to use carrier access codes, the 1010XXX.
That's interesting. I didn't know that it was the alternative for it, but I certainly used them way back in the day, the 950 codes.
Oh, we all did. Believe me, that was a ton of fun. It was fun because, you know, it was the first phone number I think many of us experienced that didn't ring. It just went to a tone immediately. But I think it was called Feature Group D, I think, if I recall correctly.
That I don't know.
Yeah. Rob, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, the 950 codes were the reason that there isn't a 950 area code, because that when they introduced area code dialing, they weren't able to use that for an area code because it would trigger the 950 codes instead. But the functionality of them was basically subsumed by the 10XXX codes, which were later the 1010XXX codes to access competing carriers. But 950 still was, it wasn't used as an area code, and it couldn't be used as exchanges for the rest of the analog phone system's lifespan.
And I don't think, I think that the exchange is still there. I don't think it's been reassigned. So if anyone can find a working number in 950 anywhere, 950 exchange, any area code, let us know. We would love to hear that. Rebel, Rebel, maybe that's an assignment for you. You could spend every waking hour tracking this down.
A 950 area code, if you dial 1950, then that would be an area code. They could still have an area code. But if you just dial regular 950, that would... think that it's a regular 7-digit?
Well, yeah, I mean, you could. Back when 950 was introduced, I don't think you were able to have 5 as a middle digit for an area code. I think that might be what Rob was saying.
So NAMPA just, the North American numbering plan never assigned 950 to an area code. It does not exist.
Right.
Right, and then 950s were people who weren't able to dial carrier access. 950s were to New York City. You were able to dial carrier access codes in New York City.
Yeah, I'm not sure what your point is.
Well, you said that 950s were implemented for people who cannot do a dial 10288.
Yeah, but they could be used by anybody. They were for people who didn't have access to carrier access codes, but they could be used by people who had access to carrier access codes. You couldn't turn it off, in other words. Mm. All right?
I remember back in the 80s, there used to be something called a police call where I would, back in the 80s, dial the regular operator, like TFPS back then, and say police call, and then give a four-digit number, which would be like a badge number, and then she'd put the call
through. Well, that's just one of many tricks that Rebel would share with us. Anyway, we're gonna disconnect now, but I think, Kyle, you might have found some interesting clues here. Thank you, Rebel. And no, when you moved that wire, the hum got louder.
This one?
I'm not sure which one. If you could disconnect that phone. Okay, now try it now. Move the wire. No? Okay.
That's, I think, for our guests to hear the phone call, the phone line. It, like...
See?
Oh.
Yeah. We're troubleshooting on the air again. But there's something there that's
well,
trouble.
Yeah. This was all off when there was the event. We'll just call it the event.
Yeah, we had an event as well on top of this.
We lost a phase, but it's not a big deal.
I was trying to say the phone number, but somebody already called, so let's...
everything's fine.
Let's take that. And whoever is calling, please be a loudmouth. As loud as you can be would be helpful. Good evening. You're on Off Look Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi. Great. I hope I sound better now.
Yeah, you sound a little far away, but you know what? We can hear you. Go ahead.
No, it should be close. I'm on a nice phone now. I'm on an iPhone. Yeah. Rebel beat me to it.
Yeah, he'll do that.
I've got two things. I'll help Rebel out. I don't know why, but 950 no longer exists for one reason. Because 950 was a seven-digit number. Like, if you were in 212 and you walked into a payphone, you could dial 950, 1033, 1044, or whatever. It always had the last two digits would be the same. And it would immediately connect you to either MCI or Sprint, whoever was going to be the long-distance carrier for that particular number. Now, you can't dial a seven-digit number from anywhere. Everything is 10 digits, so 950 is not going to work.
Well, then I wonder what they're going to do with the exchange. And I also wonder if that's true, if they're every part of the United States and Canada is now 10-digit dialing. I suspect there might be some areas where there's only one area code in a state or a province where seven-digit dialing still works. Have you heard otherwise?
As far as I know, that the protocol is that you can't, because you got internet, you got all of the various different type of carriers, so you got, you know, Google Voice. So everything today is a 10-digit number. Realize this, almost 99% of the calls you make today, the phone numbers, not really a phone number, it's just an IP data, an IP point somewhere.
That's true. You're right.
That makes it like, okay, if I have a, like, if I say, give an example. A lot, if you call almost any number today with 10 digits, you no longer can find out where you are. You know, you won't get like 9901. You, very few exchanges are still regular exchanges. Like, I'm in the, let's say, the 969-380 exchange. That doesn't even have a CO anymore. That's they took away the building.
Wow. Wait, you're in the 969 area code? That's an alternative New York City area code?
I'm in the 718.
Okay. Okay. But
I'm not giving you my own area code. Just three or four area codes, you know, exchanges. I'm in the 718, let's say the 969, okay? If you were to dial 718-969-901,
right, it would tell you your location. Yes, that's only a New York a New York feature, I believe. I don't think that existed anywhere outside the Northeast. It was a great feature. You could always find out where an exchange was by dialing 9901 after the exchange, but unfortunately, other phone companies didn't do that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, I just want to say that, but that's why 950 is not going to work. Even back then, if you try to dial a 10-digit number and use 950, it's just not going to work. You're going to get a reorder. Or if you're calling, let's say, from, you know, your internet provider or your cell phone company, it's not going to be up in your lookup table, so the computer system is going to say, hey, what do I do with this call?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. I gave Rebel some information. But I do remember the 950.
Oh, yes.
You could dial five digits and call anywhere else. But the big problem was the audio quality wasn't that good, mm-hmm. really. MCI was using microwave links, and they did not have good audio transfer.
Well, that's what MCI was. MCI stood for
microwave communication.
Right.
By the way, that was a big... The guy who started that was a big con, but tell you what, at least he was able to go up against Marbell.
Uh-huh. And he started I believe it was only between two cities. Was it between Cleveland and Chicago or something?
Yes, it was mainly for truckers.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be, and also, he also wanted to provide radio communication so truckers could talk from their trucks on UHF to get in on microwave ones. So
some more history. Sprint was Southern Pacific Rail. That's what the SPR stood for. They used right of way for train lines to run their wires.
Yeah. And then Sprint came out with, remember that? Clear audio for 10 cents a minute?
Oh, yeah.
All right, but okay. I called about something else, but I wanted to help out Rebel.
Uh-huh.
But here's two things.
Okay.
The real ID, I have something called enhanced ID. I think that is allowed to be used instead of a real ID?
Yes, it's the same. It's the same thing. It's just, it's a little more. It allows you to cross land borders to Canada and Mexico.
I know, but it doesn't have the star, so it's very confusing.
It doesn't have a star, really?
No, it says USA.
Okay, all right.
It has a flag.
It has a flag instead of a star. Because the mass media is telling everybody to look for the star, but if you, oh boy, people must be panicking.
Okay, but I'm blind, but I got to tell you, there's a problem for blind people. Barry, you know who I am, the guy with the guide dog. Okay. I went to a place called itseasy.com. You can look it up. Really nice people. I paid the extra $70 or $80. I went and got myself a passport and the card. And the nice lady had to take two or three times. She kept on taking my picture. And the machine said, I can't read your face. That's because you have to take off your glasses. That's number one. And they have to be able to see your eyes, okay, whatever you call it, the eye, and be able to see the retina, you know, the center of the eye, and be able to get an eye scan, okay? A lot of blind people don't always keep their eyes open. So it took about three times. And I also had a sign, an affidavit that she had that was from, you know, the State Department, one of their forms, that said that I was blind. So we'll see if they're going to let me get a passport. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. I had a renewal passport, so it was easy. I didn't have to bring anything. I just brought my old passport there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it should be that easy.
It should be up to 5 years. You're allowed to do it, but the state of New York is crazy. Yeah, and I probably don't need the passport, but it's so confusing between the real ID and the enhanced ID and all of that stuff. But my enhanced ID is not a driver's license. But I've been told that enhanced ID, it doesn't allow you to cross borders. It allows you to drive in the other country. That's what the enhanced ID allows you to do, as far as I understand.
Well, I think you can drive in other countries with your current license, no matter what kind it is.
No, Canada will not let you drive in their country. You have to have an enhanced driver's license.
I didn't know that. That's the first time hearing about that. You're saying I can't drive in Canada if I just have a regular New York State driver's license?
No.
That's never been the case before.
Maybe you need a passport, but that's why they say that the enhanced driver's license allows you to drive across the border and you don't have to have a Canadian or that country's license.
Okay, we're going to look into that because that would be serious if that was the case.
One thing I want to say on this matter,
uh-huh.
I know there's a lawyer within this group.
Yes, there
what
is.
What I don't understand is this. The Constitution says you don't have to show papers to be able to travel within the country, okay? It says that you don't have to present papers. So how are they able to deny people the right to travel when the Constitution gives you the right to freely travel between states?
That's a good question. I remember this came up before, too. But maybe, Alex, do you know something about that?
I think it's a very good question. I don't know the answer to this either, because the right for interstate travel, the right to travel and go from place to place is something that I don't know if it's a fundamental right. I can't remember from my constitutional law class, but it's pretty significant right that is really enshrined in the Constitution, and I think it's one of these rights that comes from other rights and other words and things. And so what's happening here right now is, I think, arguably really pushing up against that. I think you're right to identify that. I think it's an open question, and I don't think it's something that's been tested in the courts yet. So,
I mean, could it be something like you can't be forbidden from, say, going to Texas, but you can be prevented from going on a certain company or a certain means of travel because of the rules of that means of travel? Would they get away with it that way? Kyle, you have an answer?
Yeah, but even even that, I don't know if I'm up. I can't
hear myself.
I would say is not uniform, because yes, air travel is federally regulated, and that's where they're implementing this. And I think because that is the most utilized form of travel, it's easier, and of course the risks of flight and that kind of thing, and all of the other security concerns that are well established with air travel. But on the contrary, the Federal Railroad system is federally regulated, and I don't think anyone traveling by rail would be too agreeable, or at least they'd be very surprised if all of a sudden you had to have a certain sort of ID to use the rail system.
But on Amtrak, it does say you have to show ID to get on the train. I've never been asked, but it doesn't say that.
You have to have real ID.
Well, not yet, but it could, I suppose. But I don't think that's something for some reason, land borders aren't treated the same.
Exactly. And their business model would probably itself be a barrier to trying to enforce that, because it's hard enough to get passengers on the trains.
I'm pretty sure Greyhound is rather lax about that as well. Any other words from you, caller?
Yeah, I got a couple more things to say on this guy. Okay, here's what I say. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but doesn't the Constitution say you don't have to show papers? I mean, they can't ask. A cop could ask you for your ID, but you have the right to say no. Isn't that true? Except if you're driving a car, well, you have to show a driver's license. But if you're on the street corner, you're standing there doing nothing, and a cop comes up to you and says, "Can I see your ID?"
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that enshrined in the Constitution where it says that you can't be asked for your papers?
Yeah, you can say, "I have no ID. I do not have ID." Or no. Yeah.
Can you just say no? Because I don't believe in having to show my ID.
On a public right-of-way? I don't... unless there's some probable cause, I don't think they can do a spot check.
But then they'll make probable cause. They'll say, well, you know, I smelled alcohol or something, and they'll just make something up.
Well, that's the KKK for you.
It is.
Yeah, but if you don't have to show it... The federal government can't stop someone from crossing from New York to New Jersey. You have a right to cross. You have a right to travel within the United States, because you're not going to a foreign country, so you don't have to show a passport or an ID. So I think that, I think that, you know, someone did say, it was the search of the president did say, the Constitution is not a suicide pact. No, I actually think you should show some kind of an ID, but at the same time, I think that this is not helping, because you have such convoluted stuff. Under the other administration, illegal aliens, and I'm not going to say that's, you know, say anything bad about them, but they could come into the United States, travel by airplane, and they didn't have to show an ID. But because I'm a U.S. citizen, I have to show ID. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that does not make any sense.
Well, I don't think any undocumented people have rights that you don't have right now. I'm pretty sure that's not the case.
Yeah, but I will also say another thing is this. This whole thing, you know, you have to take your glasses off. So, you know, I hear that it's been talked about in some of the blind groups that a couple of blind people are having problems getting passports because they can't get a proper scan of the eye. Because if they can't use your eye as identification... And, you know, the government's so far behind. Look at Apple. Apple has a way around that. You can use facial ID without focusing on the phone. The phone uses other technology. So if you're a blind person and your eyes are deformed or don't focus, you may not be able to travel.
Well, that's something that definitely should be looked into, because that's not right. Gila, did you have something?
Well, first of all, I heard in the chat that I'm very high, so wanted to check on that.
Personal life is not anybody's business.
But I did do some checking, and apparently your U.S. driver's license from any state in the union can be used in Canada and Mexico.
Okay.
I just wanted to confirm that.
That's a relief, because that would have been a real pain in the ass.
By the way, guys, that hub, you may have a ground loop. Check to see if you have a ground loop Maybe one of these shields is touching something on one of
these. I'm beginning to suspect it's coming from inside the board.
Yeah, I think the board might be the issue.
Yeah, well, we have to take apart the board then, and that means taking apart everybody on the air.
Try a different outlet or try some kind of an isolation thing. You may be plugging something in. You may have another piece of equipment in if you're using it, so you're getting an AC ground loop somewhere.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
It's just confusing because nothing really changed in the configuration.
It sounded better before the show. It's not like we didn't touch this and try to figure it out. We thought we had it.
That's an analog issue. That's not a dig. That's not happening within the digital codec. That's an analog issue.
Right.
You do have a ground loop. So check all your... I don't know if you're using RCAs or you're using that other... What's that other type of connector that they use for I can't even think of the word. You know, which
tip and ring and XLR.
Yeah, XLR.
That's balanced. It's a balanced connection.
I don't know if you guys are running 600 ohm balance lines and stuff like that. Okay, guys. Look, I've been on long enough. I don't want to be like Greville.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you at Hope.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe I'll be there. Maybe not. I'll have to talk to you guys.
Okay.
Some things that I look politically, you know, whatever. I like talking about technical stuff, but when you guys get into politics, I do get a little annoyed.
Well, you don't have to talk to us about politics. Talk to us about technical stuff. You know, this I can't talk to everybody about everything. So that's
true.
Yeah.
I might be there because it was fun. It was fun. I hope it's not going to be as hot as it was last.
Well, that's not up to us, but it wouldn't be the same without you, so we look forward to seeing you.
Okay, I'll try to be there.
And your dog, too.
Oh, I may have a new dog by then.
Why?
Because she's going to be 10 years old. She's got to get retired. You got to give her a little bit of a break.
Well, then...
It's not easy work for these little...
She'll come on her own then, you know, just for fun.
Yeah, I can bring her, but... No, she'll still be working. I'm getting another dog next year. Probably in 2026.
Uh-huh.
Because she's going to be 10 years old next year.
Yeah,
for a while, you know.
Dog has a very good attitude. I just have to say that.
Oh, I know. She's a beautiful dog. She's a great dog.
Yeah.
She's a great, lovely dog. Okay, guys, but seriously.
Take care.
Maybe someone can... Is Rebel going to come? I never met Rebel.
Well, if that's something you're looking forward to, that's the way to do it.
We can introduce you.
Yeah. He'll probably be there, yeah.
Yeah. Or we can just tell you where he is, and you could, you know, decide which way you want to walk.
Wish us luck.
Yeah. All right. Good night.
Great talking to you guys.
All right. Take care. And just like that, the hum is gone because I pressed a button. See, we don't have to hear the hum when we're not talking on the phone.
If it was in the board...
I think it's in the board.
I really can't hear myself. If it was in the board like that, though, like, why wouldn't it be in other channels? And we did move the telephone around to other channels.
Well, something coming into the board with the phone...
Right.
...is making it make that noise. Yeah, we moved to other channels, but I still think it's a bad cable or something.
Cable?
Yeah, it's always a bad cable.
I don't know. It might be the hybrid, too.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not... Maybe it suffered some way, or I don't know.
See?
Because I...
And you touch things here, and...
If I
whoa.
I just removed the phone line from the hybrid.
Oh, okay. It went away. Now it's back.
Oh.
Okay. Well, we're going to have more of the hum because somebody's calling in.
Try to keep it a little bit lower, though. Like...
Well, I was trying to show off the hum.
Yeah, you were really showing off.
All right. Let's take another phone call. And good evening. You are on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Blue Ride Shoe from Washington, D.C., calling on a Western Electric 2500 that hopefully you can hear correctly.
Well, we hear you, but you sound a little distant, but that's probably the nature of that phone.
Well, yes, I've had some problems with it. I mean, I am talking directly into the mouthpiece, and I raised the volume on the ATA just for you guys.
Well, we appreciate that, I am sorry about the quality of the line, or the board, or whatever it is. But we got to do some real dissecting and figure out where this is coming from. But I think the previous caller was right about it being a ground loop. What's on your mind?
I was gonna chime in earlier and say that it see, it sounds like some sort of ground issue, but he got on there first and explained it. So, yeah, yeah. It would be interesting to see what frequency the hum lies at. 60 hertz. I think it's 60 hertz, and that is used both for the AC mains and the AC phone line, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They're both 60 hertz. Yeah, I mean, this. In anticipation for the show, I took apart this phone because when I tested it, like, I don't know, last week or the week before, the middle buttons, 4, 5, 6, weren't working correctly. And after I disassembled it and then spent an hour or two trying to figure out how to put it back together, I ended up making the problem worse. Like, here's one. Okay, when I press earpiece and I can't even hear.
And you went away for a second.
Huh?
You went away for a second while you were doing that when we heard
did
the tone.
Did you hear a DTMF tone?
We sure did.
Okay, yeah, because if I press a button, it's going to cut out my microphone.
Yeah, that's what
here's
it did.
Three. Okay, four. This is the row that did work before. I think it's worse now that I took it apart, but here's four. Did you hear anything?
We just heard a click for four.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, five.
Five is also a click. Hey, this is fun. We can diagnose touch. Okay, that's kind of weird. What was that?
That was six.
Do six again? Yeah, six cuts in and out.
Huh.
Yeah.
Here's seven.
Seven was fine. Seven sounded good. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, cut in and out for me. Like, I pressed it. It beated my microphone, and I could... Yeah.
So you heard six, we got a cutout six, you got a cutout seven, and we heard a healthy seven.
Yeah.
Huh. Phones are weird.
Okay, here's eight.
Yeah, that's eight, no question about it.
Okay, nine.
Yep, that's nine.
Okay, star.
Nope, that's a click. That's a click.
What? No, I heard it.
Wait, what was... Okay, that star?
Yeah.
Okay, we heard that.
Yeah, the first time I pressed it, I didn't hear it either. When I pressed it again.
Okay.
Okay, zero and pound.
That's zero.
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay. And pound?
Yeah, that's it, pound.
Okay.
Yeah, so some of the buttons are broken. And I looked on... Well, at first I wanted to go to PhoneCo. I think you had them on the show earlier, and they're in the magazine. But their website doesn't appear to be functional.
Oh, really?
Like, I go there, and the server doesn't look like it wants to give a reply. I mean, it takes time.
Well, yeah, that's kind of been the way it's been for a long time. But I don't know. I haven't checked in on them in a while, but hopefully they're still around because... Boy, they had some incredible stories and incredible hardware.
Yep, because I definitely need a new dial pad for my 2500. When I tested it last year, it was working fine, but oh well.
Wow.
Do you remember there being two different sets of buttons? Because the buttons I have in this phone, the broken ones, they actually push down, like, more. And then there's another kind that doesn't push down, go down as much. It's more like a click.
Yeah. I remember a keypad where you touched it and the keys barely moved, and other ones where you got a satisfying, you know, amount of movement. Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, the very early touch tone phones would actually mechanically cord together multiple contacts to make the multi frequency tones.
That's what mine does.
And
it did until it broke.
And more modern phones, it's all just done with a microprocessor, so it's, you know, the squishy rubber dome sort of key that you can find on any device or computer. And so the old ones, you needed actually a bit of mechanical force, and you got that cool spring back effect when the things buckled back into place when you let go. So yeah, that's definitely noticeable if you're using a lot of different touch tone phones from different parts of history.
Well, this is the only one I own, but, yeah.
Well, you can get many more. Garage sales and antique shops.
That's where I got this. That's the actually, the way I got this one is from a local house that was being cleaned out because it's in my neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
People just seem to throw in a lot of stuff, laptops, smartphones.
This is a great time to get old technology because people don't realize the value of it, the sentimentality of it, and the long-lasting nature of it, because these things will work forever.
I think the first micro ATX PC that I'd ever messed with, I got was from a dumpster in this hood. It was a Pentium 3 or 4. No, it was 3.
Okay. Well, cool. Thanks for sharing that with us. It's fun to play with these things.
All right.
Well, we'll talk to you again next time, I guess.
Yes, I'd also like to make a correction to my calls. There is a website out there that explains how useful W3M is and is a text terminal for Unix systems.
Mm-hmm.
It's W3M.rocks.
.rocks. That's a top level domain.
Yeah, that's a new TLD.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, somebody get 2600 rocks before the bad people get it.
Yeah.
Or hope rocks. That'd be cool too. Can we get that?
Yeah. Why not?
All right. Well, look into this. Thank you.
All right. Sorry. And also about WBAI. I was trying to, because I'm not in broadcast range of WBAI, the station. I usually listen over the internet.
Right.
And I missed half the show because of that. It was, I usually use TuneIn or one of the streaming apps to get on.
Yeah, but unfortunately, TuneIn also uses WBAI as the source, and they've been having massive trouble with the archives, with the stream. But fortunately, we record it locally, so what we put up on 2600.com, that will be the full show.
All right, well, hope to listen. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Sorry about the hum.
Oh, don't apologize for the hum, Kyle.
No, I feel really embarrassed.
We love the hum. The hum is part of us now.
No, the hum... It's,
if you get rid of that hum, I'm going to be really pissed off.
Someone in the chat referred to the hum as the actual star of the show now. So.
See? That's what happens. That's what happens.
The hum is loved.
All right.
I'm very sad to report that both 2600.rocks and hope.rocks seem to be the property of what looks like domain squatters.
Son of a bitch.
You know what? They can have it.
Yeah, they're going to get it too.
We know we rock.
Yeah, but does the rest of the world?
We rock. We rock.
I don't know. Yes, Kiva.
And is it ROCKS or ROX?
ROCKS.
Yes.
Yeah, ROX
in the USA.
Isn't a TLD yet. But could be. What else is going on? Callers. 802-321-4225.
Yeah, call us with the loudest phone you have, because I don't know what it is. Tonight, we seem to have soft-spoken callers. Some loudmouths we would like to hear from. Well, it depends what they say, I guess, but at least we won't hear the hum.
You can also reach us at 833-755-2600.
Okay. Maybe we'll get to the bottom of this thing.
Do you want to know some domains that were created yesterday in the .rocks top level domain? Want to hear some of them?
Yeah, go ahead.
While we're waiting for a call.
Yeah.
Did you .rocks? Get my .rocks. My job .rocks, which I don't know, what a dork you have to be to get that one. My job .rocks. The bend .rocks, swatting .rocks.
Okay, that's not good.
Yeah,
maybe that's an exterminator for bugs.
Yeah, let's look up that one. Let's look up that one. Oh wait, no, oops, that's the wrong domain. Swatting .rocks. Let's see what the config is there. Yeah, that was created yesterday at 1849 Zulu time, with name server records pointing to Cloudflare, of course. So who the hell knows what swatting .rocks is going to be.
Annoying.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Now, if we want to know the domains that have just expired in .rocks.
How long has .rocks been around?
Been around for a while.
Well, no one told me about it.
A lot of domains expiring. 0x0.rocks. Askkick.rocks is expiring.
Askkick.rocks is going to be available?
Yeah, it will be. Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
Hell yeah.
As well as rockcovery.rocks.
Yeah, that just never worked out.
SalesToday.rocks. I know that's one of your favorite publications, Emmanuel.
Good God. We have a phone call, which has to be better than this.
Is Kick Rocks going to be available?
Good evening. You're on Off Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to ask a quick question, and I'm just going to hang up and listen to your response. The event coming up this summer, what do you call it again?
Hackers on Planet Earth or Hope?
No, Hope. I meant Hope.
Yes.
Can you say something else about, is there anything new about that? Is there a website somewhere where we can, look up who's going to be there and stuff like that?
Yeah, in fact, I'm glad you mentioned this because we did just announce in the past week our first batch of accepted talks. If you go to hope.net and click on the talk section, you'll see a list. That's a very tiny part of what we have. I think we have about 20 talks up there. We're going to have at least 100. We've had more submissions this conference than I think we have ever had before, and we still have the entire month of May to go for more submissions. So it's really turning into something that is bigger than we thought it would be. Workshops. We have more workshops than ever before. In fact, we have so many of those that we're going to cut them off next Tuesday. That'll be the deadline if you have a workshop idea to submit. Go to the workshop section of hope.net. But everything else is on that website, including how to get tickets, where it is, and all kinds of other information. But if you have anything to ask here, feel free.
Oh, no, that's all I needed to know. Like hope.net, correct?
Yes.
Is that the website?
Yeah, at St. John's University in Queens.
Spread the word.
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, take care. We always forget to promote the damn conference. Why is that?
Well, we have excellent callers that remind us.
Yes.
And that call sounded a little better.
It did, didn't it?
I'm observing. It connected something about it. But you're right. We should be talking a bit more about the event. But if people have questions about Hope, please feel free to call in and ask or write OTH@2600.com. We'll answer your letter about Hope there if we can. If it isn't something that you can find on the website, we'll do our best.
We are so bad at promoting that we really need help in getting the word out. A lot of people don't know about Hope, even though we have the website. But if you don't know about the website, how are you going to find out? We have social media, but people have been leaving social media in droves. Or which social media do they go on to? So basically, we need help word of mouth to let people know about Hope. Hope.net is the website. It's taking place August 15th through 17th, St. John's University in Queens. It's an amazing campus, a lot of space, a lot of places for us to hang out. And it's going to be so much fun. Like I said, we've had so many talk submissions, so many workshop submissions, and interest. But we do need more attendees. That is for damn sure if we're going to survive. So please help spread the word.
Yeah, and in all kinds of novel ways that we might not know about, please do that. Mm-hmm. As you said, those platforms don't really have the same reach, and it doesn't work the same way. We're not PR people per se, and of course we're busy working on the event and planning parts of it. So anybody that can augment and share and reference past content, share some of the videos that we host on Channel 2600 here on YouTube. If you send that around or tell people about it that might be interested, or groups, clubs, please do it, because mm-hmm. it really helps. It really goes a long way, and we absolutely want to have a nice amount of people to host and show all of these incredible workshops and presentations.
And if for whatever reason you can't make it to New York City in the middle of August, but you still want to support the conference, then get a virtual ticket. It's a fraction of the cost, and you'll get access to all the talks. You'll be able to ask questions, interact with other attendees. But most of all, you'll be supporting the conference and making the next one possible. Because you know, as of this year, because of all the crap that's going on, we decided to go annual. People told us they need this event. They need to be able to express themselves and gather and learn things and just feel like their community matters, that they belong. But in order to do that, we obviously need people to support the conference, either by showing up in person or showing up virtually. So hope.net, all the info is there.
Yeah, at long last, we are doing this annually in earnest. It had been something we were a bit reluctant about, I'm going to say. It was, you know, a lot to actually imagine, but the timing and the need, given the greater context with what's going on in technology and stuff, it felt like this moment actually, this was the time to step it up and create this opportunity for people to present, for people to check things out and learn and share about technology. So here it is. And please tell a friend, tell everybody, as many people as you can. We really want to have a really fantastic event and to continue to do it, especially in these interesting times.
And we have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. Is somebody there?
Technically,
did they step away from the phone? That could have happened. Let's give them a moment. Is anybody out there? We have picked up the phone line finally.
Yes, I can hear me.
Damn it, Alex. Okay. Are you on the phone too, or are you just on?
Oh, he isn't. He just.
I don't know what he's doing.
I just did that.
All right, disconnect that. We only have a couple minutes left, so if anybody else calls in, it has to be fast and quick, and hopefully loud because of our hum there.
Sorry for interrupting the phone caller, but it is typical that, you know, we finish our thoughts and then go to the call. So please don't be alarmed if we answer the phone and you hear us, but we're not quite ready to talk to you.
Yeah, that's why we put you on hold.
So 802.
You're safely tucked away.
802-321-4225.
That's 802-321-HACK.
You can also reach us at 833-755-2600. I believe that's a toll-free number.
Well, somebody called one of those numbers, and this will be our last call. And good evening. You are on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello. Yes, I'm calling from my computer. Can you hear me better?
Rebel, you're not fooling anybody. And you're tying up the line for somebody else. So we're going to disconnect from you and leave the line open for somebody else.
We sure hope you're able to get out of your computer.
802-321-4225. I'll give this a couple of minutes. And Rebel, if you call again, you'll be banned. And we don't want to do that. He's been banned more than anybody.
If only Rebel knew how to open ports on his system, he might be able to get out.
He needs those ports more than
I don't know how to explain ports to somebody who doesn't seem to see the parallel between today's computer ports and yesterday's computer ports.
Well, ports in an OS.
Any port in a storm.
Ports in the OS are distinct from ports in IP layers, right?
Now you're asking. I don't know these things. I'm not an expert on.
Well, we don't talk about this stuff enough.
I don't know if I want to talk about
it. We just have to say the wrong thing and then be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we get the right answer.
Yeah. Okay. A port is like a directory where you keep all your files and such. That ought to get some mail. That'll get some mail coming in.
Yeah. A port is like a PowerPoint presentation.
That too.
A port is the left side of a boat.
It's a clip art.
Well, in Canada, yeah, but not here.
Port outbound, starboard home.
One more minute, and then we are closing up shop for the night.
We did have a question I wanted to relay across, which is there going to be an app this year?
Is there going to be an app this year? What kind of a question is that?
It's Hope app.
Oh, wow. I imagine. I mean, if we had one before, we'll have one again. I don't know.
I can't remember who was doing that.
See, yeah, we need people to do things, to volunteer and make these projects happen because, everyone loves the event and the projects and things like that. But it's so hard to find people to do simple things like designing websites, for instance, or just making an app that works well or having some kind of a program that can handle scheduling, you know. They exist. They're great, but you need to have a number of people to do them. We have a great staff. Don't get me wrong. It's just it's an ongoing thing. And especially if we're going to be annual now, we need more people to step up. And that's been a challenge. And, you know, I'd say at least half of it is because we're bad at reaching out and getting the right people to participate. But I'm expressing that that is a need that we have. And you can go to the volunteer section of the website, hope.net, and mail us and tell us what you're interested in. And guaranteed, we will appreciate that and yeah. become a valuable part of our community.
We are indeed recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
We want people in the ranks of volunteering, of coordinating, of in all regards. This is like all hands on deck. People come and go, and we have to retain people and retain the ingenuity as technologies change. We want people that have expertise in different things because a lot of that evolves, and people that were familiar with one thing they may not really be interested in what newer things are being used. So there's plenty of examples. Oftentimes, though, as with regard to the app, I think that may be in reference to scheduling. That usually is something that once we've shared the wider schedule or talks come up, someone will take that from the site and apply it and build something themselves. It's often come from the community, come from people on the volunteer lists and ranks that are just passionate and say, like, this should be in app form, or so, and it is made so. So anyway, that's an ongoing thing, and I really hope we continue to have new faces and new ideas coming from people.
Speaking of which, I think we have a new person on the phone. Kyle?
Yeah, but I believe this person called before.
Let's find out. Good evening. You're on Off the Cover Time. Go ahead.
This is an old person. check out IO ports on the IBM PC architecture. Goodbye.
Okay. Thanks for that closing remark, because we're done for the night. Yeah.
I think we're just confusing ourselves.
I've been confused from the beginning.
Yeah, ports are like... They're like a... Fine,
why are we talking about this?
It's like a fine wine.
Oh, my God.
It's like a sherry.
Well, there is port wine. Yeah. I mean, that's like dessert wine.
But it's also like a session, I want to say, or like a processing. I don't know. It's on I'm thinking like on a multi-user system.
Well, we can amuse about this in the time that we have before the next show.
Indeed, hackers. What are ports?
Write to us, oth@2600.com. And that goes for what you've heard on Overtime as well as what you've heard on the radio show.
And we'll keep things humming.
Hopefully not. And I'm sorry for this person calling in, but we're out of time.
Oh, this is an overseas call.
Okay, fine. Really? Thank you, Kyle.
Let
Thank
them
you
get
this.
In on this. Come on.
No, it's okay. I've got all the time in the world. Good evening. You're on Off the Overtime. Go ahead, overseas.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Where are you calling from?
It's that from London.
Oh, wow. You sounded different somehow. Maybe it's the hum.
Well, nah, it's me putting on funny voices.
Well, I'm glad we didn't miss this one.
Yeah, I just wanted to phone up quickly to find out if the hum is actually on international calls as well.
It is. It sounds a little more sophisticated, but it's still a hum.
It's us, not you.
Yes, in a different accent.
So how are things over in the UK there, Zap?
As far as I know, everything's okay. I'm not too good still, but yeah. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear your voice. Always cheers us up. I'm not sure why, but it just does.
I think it's all the comedy and the jokes that I do.
Yeah, no, you're quite entertaining to talk to and to hang out with.
Yeah, I thought I'd give it a quick call just to see about the hum, but... Now that I'm on the phone, I was thinking, when we were in Europe, you could go abroad on a driving license.
Uh-huh.
Because the UK doesn't have identity cards, where the rest of Europe, I think, does. I know Spain definitely does.
Uh-huh. Now, to travel, though, between countries, well, you're not in the EU anymore, but to travel within countries in the EU, I don't think you need any kind of card, do you?
You need some form of ID if you're traveling, so I would have thought a driving license at the bare minimum.
Uh-huh.
Now you need a passport.
You do need a passport between countries in the EU?
You do now, because we're out, aren't we?
Oh, you yeah, the UK does. That's true. Well, you know, it's becoming more of a surveillance state, and we just have to accept this, because I don't think enough people care.
What do you mean it's getting more of a surveillance state? We've always been a surveillance state.
Yeah, but they're getting better at it. You know, this whole real ID thing, that worries me.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's being solidified. It's in the psyche, and people think, then in questioning it, you become sort of the anomaly, right? Versus people just accepting it. And in accepting it, then not asking questions, you don't get to augment it. You don't have representation refining it and creating ways that it protects people and doesn't become as abusive as it is.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember something going back to one of my first trips over to Europe, being in Germany, where people were upset at the introduction of German ID cards, which supposedly was something that, you know, they were very opposed to for the most part. But I happened to look at one of those, and I noticed that they had the same pattern of numbers that U.S. passports had at the bottom. And that's when I realized that these systems, at least some of them, are tied together, and they use the same formatting. So I can only imagine now how sophisticated they are, how tied together they are.
We got stopped by Germans once in Frankfurt, the police.
That's true, we did, yeah.
We were just walking. Walking in Frankfurt, probably coming home from food or something. Or no, we were down in a train stop, and then we just, like, came up to the street level. And
I seem to remember a tunnel of some sort.
Yeah, we had been, like, down there, and then, like, came up to the street level, and then we were, like, basically just got spot checked for randomly, I guess, because we're I don't know, suspect. But yeah, we had to, like, show our passports and all that. That's why you have to keep that on you when you're traveling.
I once had a couple of ticket inspectors on an S-Bahn train. Basically, the way it works there is you get on the train and you're supposed to have a ticket. It's kind of like the select buses in New York, where they might inspect for the ticket or they might not. And this was many years ago. I thought it was somebody asking for money, so when they nudged me, I just said no, thank you. And they don't like that. So when I found out I was a ticket inspector, I was able to find my ticket forthwith.
That is the appropriate response.
Well, I'm a New Yorker; I'm used to that.
So any of those circumstances,
just keep your eyes down and don't make eye contact,
especially with police.
Just say no, thank you,
or ticket inspectors. Mm-hmm. Just tell them no, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't appreciate the English either. Anything else, Zap?
Yeah, you were saying about numbers on a passport. I remember that my American visa had part of the number that's linked to the passport.
Okay.
So maybe it's a passport number that's linked somewhere?
I'm sure it is. I'd love to study that or have an article on that or something. But when you came to the U.S., you had to get a visa?
Unfortunately, yes.
Interesting. And that's true presently as well?
Yeah, go on. Pardon?
Is that true presently, that people from the UK have to get a visa?
No, I'm a special case.
Oh, okay.
I was, unfortunately, have some legal problems.
I see.
At the time, even if you got arrested, uh-huh, and there was no conviction, you would still need to apply for an American visa. It was one of the criterias of going to America in 1997. I wanted to be 100% legal, so I asked at the embassy, uh-huh, and they said, no, you will need a visa. And then they checked into my dodgy past and found out I'm not that much of a risk, so I was allowed to go.
Uh-huh. And what did the visa look like? Was it a full page of your passport, or was it a separate document?
I've got my old passport in front of me. It's no longer valid, but it's actually one page, and it was valid for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And I used it three times.
Well, that's pretty cool. I like those full page visas, like going to China, going to Belarus, going to Russia. You get the full page visas, and they're just great to save.
Yeah. So I don't know what the rules are now. I think they've changed a little bit. So if I was to go to America again, I'd probably have to go through the whole process. But I would need to check with the American embassy. But I can guarantee I'm not going to the U.S. for the next 4 years.
No, that's probably wise. And you might see us over there within the next 4 years.
We were thinking the same thing.
Yeah. But I think I might get a virtual ticket to Hope. I'll have to see what my finances are.
Well, it'd be great to have you virtually or physically, whichever. We always appreciate your presence.
It won't be physical, so virtual is the best I can do. And with any luck, I can convince some of the other UK 2600 groups to do virtual as well.
Well, we could just move the conference over to the UK. What do you say, guys?
No, you don't want to do that.
Well, yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, maybe we'll pop over for a visit all the same.
Yeah, on maybe the Saturday at the conference. Yeah.
I still remember the problems we had with our first hacker conference in 1995, which I believe you keynoted, Emmanuel.
Oh, that was the one at, King's College with all the heat?
Yep.
I remember it well. There was something wrong. It was summertime and the heat was on full blast.
Yeah, that's something the English do. They put the radiators on summer.
Was that the one where I jumped out a window?
No, that was in 1996.
Wow, you have my life catalog better than I do. Yeah, I somehow had to be in Paris the next day, and there was a party in a pub, but the pub was shutting its doors at, like, I think 1 a.m., but the party could still go on. It's just nobody could go in or out, which left me with the problem of, well, how do I get into a taxi to get to the airport if I can't get out? Which, when I think about it, boy, what a real fire hazard that must have been. But somebody there, I think his name was Dodger, had abseiling equipment for some reason and hooked it up so that I could just step out facing towards the building. I could just step out and descend onto the street. And, of course, that's not what happened. I was immediately upside down. And I wound up on the street, and very cautiously, right as my cab was arriving. So it was quite a way to go.
Yeah, good times.
There's video of that somewhere.
There is. Unfortunately, I can't find my copy, which is a shame. And I can't find my digital copy either. But I think it was uploaded to the 2600 FTP site.
Well, I'll try to find it, and we'll try to send you a copy. We have your email address, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quick question. Is the 2600 FTP site still up?
You know, I haven't thought about that in many years, so I don't know if it is. If you're able to reach it, that's more than I can do.
Yes.
It hasn't been maintained. Let's put it that way.
Okay. And I'm trying to think. In 96... that's when you convinced all the UK people to come to America for Beyond Hope.
The second conference, yeah.
Yep. Anyway.
Yeah, that was historic. That was the only one that took place in the Puck Building downtown, as opposed to Hotel Pennsylvania. Neither of which still exists. The Puck Building is now, REI?
Yeah, it's a outdoor sporting goods store.
Uh-huh, and Hotel Penn is a pile of rubble. But St. John's University is awesome, and it's got everything we need and more.
Yeah, I've heard from people that have actually gone to say it's really good because on-site dorms and everything, so it makes it a lot easier if you can get an on-site dorm.
I recommend it because the hotels have sold out, from what I understand. But the dormitories are because of how late it is in the summer. We have full rain. There aren't other groups that are taking up dorms, so you know we can fit a lot of people in there. It's not a hotel room. There's no TV in the room, but you're right on site, and you walk out the door and you're at Hope.
It's safe. You can get some quiet, some distance from the event.
Yeah, think of it like you're going camping, except you're in a building.
And it's also in crawling distance.
Uh-huh. And it's cheap as hell, too. It's like under $100 a night per person.
Yeah, that's the pros. The cons are, just staying a little bit longer in America, then you've got to find other accommodation.
Well, that's true. Hope doesn't last forever.
Okay, that's it.
All right.
Then I went off tuning in again, but you know, everyone have fun, and I'll keep listening and keep joking on the chat.
Okay, I'm very glad you called, Zap. I'm glad we stuck around for that one extra call. Thank you, Carl, for the notification.
Thanks for all you do with meetings and shout outs to everybody, all the different locations out there in the UK.
Thanks for that.
All right, you be well.
All right, see you, everybody.
Take care.
Take care.
And with that, Zap and the Homagon. All right, we have a minute before we sign off to say whatever people need to say.
We zapped the hum.
I will just say, where did I put it? I put it right here. Keep WBAI going. Go to buddy.wbai.org or call 833-WBAI-NYC. That's 833-922-4692 to throw in with what support you can to keep us going over on our radio home.
Please subscribe to this channel.
No. I mean, yeah, if you want to, but we're not going to say that.
And
if like you, and subscribe bullshit.
If
is
you
what it
dislike
is.
Us, no, please I like us.
Couldn't care less. Every damn channel on YouTube is the same. They always are doing this. And Google with their damn ads. I was watching the damn chimney with the Pope, you know, to see if it was going to be black or white today. And Google inserts an ad in the middle of that. What if the Pope got selected right then? I would have missed it. I don't think that, you know, the Reuters News Agency or AP or any of the other outlets that are broadcasting this are basically asking for Google ad money. I really don't think so. Used to be you could just watch a feed for hours, and it was a service.
Do you think the Cardinals will just, like, stick a firecracker, like a firework in there, and just Roman candles out the chimney? It's purple smoke. I did want to share one thing from the chat a little earlier. A user named Unix Ninja said, hackers aren't omniscient, just curious.
That's a question or a statement?
That's a statement. Hackers are omniscient, just curious.
Oh,
I would like that on a sampler.
They are just curious. I get it.
Yes, that was a comment. Somebody else had asked if they're hackers, why can't they figure out the audio issue? And that was a very apropos response,
okay,
which I appreciate.
We're hackers. That's why there is an audio issue, because we're always messing with things.
Yeah, I think to say to be generous, I think you may not be as familiar in asking that, because yeah, there's some scrappiness. We're not funded or. You know, this is independent stuff, and we cobbled things together, and we don't have a big commercial entity or broadcast set up.
We found this board in a dumpster.
This was a hand-me-down board, yeah. And yeah, I guess that's another good reason to support WBAI, because they themselves keep things going with people's operational their contributions to their operational efforts, and we do our best with the equipment we have, both when we're on the road and using commercial apps as we did with Skype for so long. And yeah, we don't understand everything. Like that's the thing with hacking in general. As the person responded to that question, it's not that we're experts, right? Like, being a hacker doesn't mean you're necessarily an expert. You may aspire to that in some field, but then there are fields that you may not have any kind of familiarity with. And the vastness of technology and even the telephone system or computers or software development, it is a lifetime in and of itself to master any one aspect of it. So I implore people, give others a break, be kind, forgive yourself if you're not an expert immediately in things. This is a practice. This is it's like any hobby, like any interest or vocation. It takes time to even learn a sliver of any of it, and you may not ever be the best at any one thing. or even a particular thing, you may have good days and bad days, and that goes to setting up equipment. And, you know, we do our best. We all do our best. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that may get lost because we might have opinions about something. We might approximate our specific take on something. It doesn't mean that we have, you know, the final say, or that we've figured it out. And to be scolded in that way, as I said, is really just emblematic of being unfamiliar with hackers, because they aren't all experts, but they get together, and we encourage that with the conference and with this radio show and in publishing and reading letters and encouraging people to check things out in the magazine or independently. That sharing, and I personally, my interest is teaching and learning. If you can I like creating understanding. If you can learn stuff, if you can teach stuff so that others learn, you're doing a lot for society and for your community. And I think it's really important to emphasize that, like, yeah, just because you become the expert, that was what it was back in the day when you couldn't talk to people without spending a lot. Well, now that we have sort of wider open networks, I think it's a benefit to share what you know a little bit. And there's so much emphasizing in private circles and in government to not talk about technology, to not talk about security or encryption or whatever knowledge is being held sacred. We're not about that. We want people to understand. We want to try to teach as best we can. We want to learn as best we can to get better so that society itself evolves, so that there is no longer a digital divide. And that has become a chasm, that chasm has become ever smaller because people understand technology a lot more, and we want that to continue. So yeah, it's about sharing what you know, but also teaching others, and teach us. Yeah, if somebody out there knows about this, it would help us greatly. But troubleshooting hums is never fun.
All right, I gotta get that. We are, I think, done for the night. Any other final words from anybody out there? Skype? Not Skype, I'm sorry, Signal in.
Don't dead name the chat. Yes. No. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Yes, we'll see you next week.